Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And so, Cindy, my Teutonic brain makes me want to organize how we're going to talk about mushrooms. Let's talk about using mushrooms where they are the point of the dish. They are the centerpiece of the dish, their flavors. And then let's talk later about where mushrooms are something that enhances a dish. So, favorite ways for you to take mushrooms and show them off? What are the classic backdrops?
There are some great backdrops. Creamy polenta, creamy grits, risotto. You know, the process of making risotto with mushrooms is amazing because the rice needs the liquid.
So be the Southern
chef.
Be the Southern chef. Okay. and talk about creamy grits. And then, you know, let's say asparagus and morels are in.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. So you make your grits with milk, a tiny bit of butter and salt. And
these are the grits in the can?
No, these are the stone ground kind from the mill, hopefully. And because they are made that way, you're going to have about a 40-minute cook time when you make grits this way. And you want to stir them a lot, and you want to cook them very, very slowly on low heat. In a heavy bottom pan and in something that will not scorch on the bottom. And once your grits are cooked and creamy, what I would do with the asparagus and the morels is to simply cut the asparagus in probably like inch pieces on a bias, leave the tips as they are, but cut the body of the asparagus and, of course, discard the ends that are too woody to eat. And save any little pieces for a soup you might want to make later. But have these nice sort of long bias cut pieces of asparagus that you blanch in highly salted water and saute the morels in butter until that they are nice and caramelized and having great flavor, and a little bit of salt and pepper, and I would just simply garnish the grits with that. And I can't help myself, I would put a little bit of beurre blanc with that because it really would be the perfect sauce for it. And beurre blanc is, of course, a reduction of white wine and shallots in the most simplest of forms and finished with butter and strained. But just to have that bit of butter with the asparagus and the morels, you could certainly put fresh chives on there, fresh chervil. Those two things would be very pretty with both the asparagus and the morels.
That dish is nice enough that I want to turn it into an entire reason for brunch. So if you dropped a poached egg on top of that.
Oh, that would be good.
And you opened a very good bottle of Premier Cru Chablis, you know, one that got a little bit of oak because that shows off it's steely enough to not be offended by the asparagus. It's going to be interesting and earthy enough to work with
very
the morels
good.
And that little bit of oak that it's aged in will work with the corn of the grits. And, mm-hmm. and then you have a nice nap after that.
There you go. Well, and you know, my favorite omelet is button mushrooms, quartered small, tiny, beautiful button mushrooms and goat cheese. Those flavors are just so perfect together. It's
so
simple.
Another backdrop for mushrooms being eggs.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you were talking about poached eggs the other day, and I think, go ahead and talk about that dish because that sounds, you know, poached eggs. I think you were saying chanterelles and poached eggs.
Oh, just on like
or a, even
like
brioche a, toast.
Like a brioche toast, or if you want a more rustic, on a piece of grilled baguette or something like that. But yeah, poached egg is a foil because of the runny yolk. It really creates that sauce.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
But if you have chanterelles, I love because they're so woodsy.
Yes.
And fruity at the same time. You know, there's a charm to them. This is a time of the year when you begin to want to drink rosé wines, really bright, fresh, strawberry-scented, but kind of steely, and they will do great with a fruity mushroom like a chanterelle. Chanterelle cooked in the same patient way that you described doing morels or any of the other forest mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing with just a little herb accent at the last moment, it could just be fresh chives. It could be thyme. It could be the flowers from thyme.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you like marjoram too. Marjoram would be very pretty in that, and I think you also mentioned something about crispy serrano ham or something like that. That would be so good with that.
Yeah, exactly right. Something of a less pre-planned Benedict to have the grilled baguette, to have the poached egg, to have the mushrooms, to have a little garnish of like crunchy, you know, the crispy serrano or something like that. On that plate, and that's an ideal dish for that rosé that I was talking about wanting.
And that would give so much balance to the. I mean, that really is the beauty of a wine and food pairing is giving some acidity to that dish and cleaning it up on your palate,
and will bring out all the different characteristics that you're balancing in the dish itself.
That's so great. You know, I would also say something to the listeners that one of the greatest things to me, talking with anyone about food, and particularly you, Tony, is that is that throwing back and forth of ideas. And, you know, that was one of my favorite parts about cooking when I first started cooking with my chef in Charleston, is to sit and just say, hey, you know what, I want to do this, and what do you think of that? And I think that that's just such an exciting thing to be able to do, and you should be able to do that at home with the people that you live with, too, yeah. You know, and say, oh, what would you like for dinner? And, you know, instead of it being like a job, it should be fun.
Go find a recipe and get it done. And yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe someone likes something. And, oh, could we have this? And I just think that's one of the fun parts of being talking about food and cooking food, is the exchange of ideas.
Well, this is the good time to chime in with email us your questions or your ideas at foremanwolf@wypr.org. And from time to time, we'll do live programs, and you're welcome to call into those programs. But email us in the meantime. Foremanwolf@wypr.org.
Well, and one of the other ways that obviously mushrooms can shine is through a soup. And I made porcini soup, and I would tell the listeners how to make that. It really is not that hard to do. It's not a formidable process. You would just simply saute onions and shallots and butter. And
saute them until what point?
Until they caramelize. You can get some caramelization into this. A little bit of color is not going to hurt anything.
And to make life easy, what sort of a vessel are you doing this in? Is this in a small saute pan? Is this in a large pot you're going to end up making a soup in?
In a large pot, and again, stainless steel. And with the porcinis, you have to look to see how dirty they are. And you really do need to split them open to make sure that there aren't any worms or bugs or anything in there. So you do want to cut them open. I would wash the cap gently with my hand. And then if you felt that the stem was dirty, go ahead and just peel it. It's easy to just trim it down. And
just like with a potato peeler.
As thin as possible. Exactly. And just discard that. And then chop them up. And once the onion and the shallot have begun to caramelize, add a little bit more butter to your pan and add your porcini mushrooms and just start sauteing them again on medium heat. You're going to work them with the onion and the shallot. You don't want any of that to get too much color. And then as the porcinis begin to throw off liquid, allow it to evaporate a little bit, but you don't have to take them to the point of caramelization. You can take them just short of that. I would flame with a little bit. That's the action. You would deglaze the pan. The action of adding a liquid to the pan, a little cognac, brandy, whiskey if you prefer, you know, anything like that tone, and then add a little bit of stock and cream.
I'm going to chime in with the cognac will heighten the woodsy note of the porcinis. Whiskey, like an American whiskey, is going to come off sweet, so be very careful with that.
Okay.
If it's a Scotch whiskey, it's going to come off very briny and salty, so you have to think about what notes you want to heighten.
Because it's part of the spice.
In the mushrooms, it's part of the seasoning of the dish.
I use cognac, so that's what I love. I love that tone in there. And then just a little bit of stock and quite a bit of cream and salt and pepper, and let it cook, and you know, probably about 30 or 40 minutes. Thankfully, it's not a long cook time. You could probably make the soup in 45 minutes to an hour, and then you have this just gorgeous soup that you can serve tomorrow. It'll only taste better tomorrow. So,
two things about it. One, the stock. You could use a vegetable stock.
You could, absolutely.
You could use a chicken stock.
Mm-hmm.
You could use a stronger stock if you wanted to really, if you work the mushrooms longer and you wanted a deeper, stronger flavor.
Well, you could use a bird stock, which would be really, really good if you, I mean, I don't know how.
Bird stock, mean?
How realistic it is
like
for you.
Like a chicken or a game bird?
A game bird. So if you had pheasant bones, or if you're hunting, maybe you have some kind of bird bones, you could use something like that. But wow, pheasant or squab or a combination of pheasant or rabbit. That would be very, very good.
So the other thing I would say is if you have a few of those porcinis that are really pretty, instead of chopping those up, maybe saute the slices really patiently.
Yes.
And then put them on a sheet pan and let them dry a little bit in the oven, not too much, but a little bit. Brush them with butter when they come out and have that as a garnish for your soup, where you have the really pretty slice of the porcini laying on the soup.
Yeah, one of my favorite Robuchon dishes is his eggplant caviar, which he makes in such a sublime way. And eggplant caviar is you would roast the eggplants in the oven, rub them, you would cut them in half, wash them first, cut them in half, score them. I use a light extra virgin olive oil and roast them for about 30 minutes until they basically cave in at about 325 degrees. And you can just kind of poke the outside, and you can see that it's soft. And you just pull that meat out and try and discard as many of the seeds. And then you saute a little bit of shallot, very, very gently butter poach some garlic, add that to the eggplant in the pan, a little bit of salt and pepper, and then finish with just a touch of lemon juice and a touch of mayonnaise. And it's just really, really great eggplant caviar, and that's very similar to his recipe. And then he does the grilled porcinis with it. And a porcini is so beautiful, and you can literally get steak-style grill marks on a porcini mushroom because they're that size, they're that capable of being on a grill, and that's a great dish.
It is definitely, I will admit, in the grilling season at home, my all-time favorite burger topping. You get to September, October, it's still nice in this part of the country, and you can grill some porcinis off and have them put on your...
That's a good hamburger.
On your burger.
Sounds good.
So let's turn to where mushrooms are not the point of the dish, but they're the big flavoring agent in the dish, like in the case of that burger.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say mushrooms with a fish dish, perhaps, or mushrooms where they're an accent for a meat dish or an organ meat. Give me an idea. Mushrooms with fish.
Turbot is one of my favorite fish. It's very sweet in tone, very mild fish, lovely in texture. And when it comes into the window every night, I smell it. It smells like buttered popcorn when it comes into the window. I mean, it's just a great fish. And that fish really likes mushrooms.
The turbot's a flat fish, a little bit like sole, mm-hmm. stronger and richer in flavor and texture than trout.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a deep water fish.
Yeah. And they can be quite big, but we buy small fish. And they're easy to cook because literally you can cook a piece of small turbot in probably 3 or 4 minutes sauteed in a steel pan in corn oil. And I serve, I love that with a combination of mushrooms. So that could be porcinis and morels, or it could be chanterelles and oysters and buttons. So really you could just pick your favorite mushrooms and put it together. The idea of serving porcinis and a little bit of sort of a garlic, almost like a roasted garlic oil with that, something where you've gently cooked the garlic and mashed it into a little bit of extra virgin olive oil and have that drizzle onto the plate with the grilled porcini mushroom and this piece of turbot. I mean, that would be really beautiful, and it would show off the fish so well.
It would also work with a stronger fish, too, wouldn't
mm-hmm.
you think?
Definitely. Well, the porcini especially.
Yeah.
I mean, you could put porcini with a piece of steak. You could put porcini with lamb, which to me is one of the more flavorful.
I think my favorite way I had porcinis last year was with sort of last really nice sweet corn of the year and porcinis, almost like an autumn succotash with acorn squash
mm-hmm.
and with scallops on the dish and a little drizzle of good olive oil, and it was marvelous.
Yeah, scallops are such an amazing thing to work with.
How about mushrooms with the meat dish? Maybe you can put on your French classical hat for a minute.
Well, actually, I was going to say sweetbreads because that's, you know, not a piece of, you know, it's a something that not a lot of people will cook at home. But if you're going to try it, sweetbreads, if you want to try them sautéed, I like to grill sweetbreads. But if you sauté them, so you have to poach and purge them first, and then you would cut them into small pieces and pull off the membrane, lightly dust the sweetbread with flour. Sauté them in a hot pan, not smoking hot, but just under smoking hot pan with oil in it, or clarified butter. It would have to be clarified butter. And just brown the sweetbreads beautifully. And then you can add, again, whatever of these mushrooms you love. Hen of the woods, the shiitake mushroom, portobello mushroom, button mushrooms would be perfectly fine. To add morels to this would be very elegant. But choose one kind of mushroom that you like. Add those to the pan. Sauté. I would put a tiny bit of flour in that pan to pull up the fat off the bottom and create volume in your sauce. Deglaze with something like Madeira or cognac and add cream. If you had stock, you could also add stock to that pan. But I would make a cream sauce, and that is very traditionally French and would just be, it's lovely. And finish with a little salt and maybe pepper, and maybe serve it in puff pastry or serve it with the creamy polenta or one of the things that we've already talked about. But the sweetbread, again, really goes well with mushrooms.
I was thinking about the home cook and a way to show off the, you know, on a special occasion when you've mastered cooking those mushrooms so nicely and so patiently, when you can find excellent ones, whether they're, one we haven't talked about are hedgehogs, and hedgehogs have great flavor.
Yes.
Maybe sort of like the not as pretty but more flavorful little brother to chanterelles.
Yeah, the little cap underneath has these kind of weird little spory things, so it's just kind of odd, but they're very, very good. They're delicious.
It's super flavor.
Yeah.
I was thinking about one of the cuts of meat many people serve for a special occasion is beef tenderloin, filet mignon, and how nice it would be to roast a decent-sized filet mignon, and if you had those mushrooms at the ready.
Yeah.
you know, to rub that in good salt and oil, roast it, rest it, slice it thin, lay the thin slices on the plate, and just, you know, and use the warm mushrooms and a little bit of the butter that they've cooked in as the sauce for the dish. If you're a person who wants to show off, say, Pinot Noir or Red Burgundy with, you know, with if you have some kind of prize, Von Romane Premier Cru or something like that that you want to show off for a dinner party, that's probably a very, very easy way to get that done. Because all the notes and the wine will get pulled out by that dish.
Well, and going in the opposite end of beef to veal, you know, to have a more delicate meat, you know, that's where I would consider, say, the chanterelle. Chanterelle and veal, oh, so very beautiful. You could make gnocchi for that, you know, and have that sautéed in butter and a little bit browned, and also make a potato risotto, which is the idea of taking a small dice of potato and just cooking it very slowly in cream with maybe a little vermouth or shallot and adding the mushrooms to enhance that dish.
When you say potato risotto, I know this is a thing that we do once in a while that confuses.
Well, sure, I understand, because it's a play on terms.
It's the idea of a risotto being something that's starch-based that is made creamy by the starch internally in it. You're taking potato and doing the same thing, cooking it the same technique that you would rice.
Right, exactly.
You can actually do the same thing with pasta. You could take macaroni and do the same thing.
And that's such a great way to cook macaroni, too. I love that idea of cooking it in a broth like that. But yes, we cook the potatoes just kind of slowly. You want them to be al dente. You still want them to be firm to the bite. So it doesn't take that long to cook the smallest of dice of potato in the cream and end up with, you know, as you say, you know, that's the whole idea of risotto. It throws off the starch and creates this just kind of heavenly thing.
I'm going to go full circle into with your, because I saw you get excited talking about the macaroni cooked risotto style, which means you continue to add stock and butter and a little bit of cheese, but especially the stock, and keep working in that great big pan, that macaroni. If you get the dried macaroni that's really good, like from Rosticella d'Abruzzo or someone, and you can see it become creamy in that pan. As that starts to happen, then you add all your butter and your cheese to kind of finish it like you would a risotto. That is a great backdrop for mushrooms.
I wonder if anybody's getting hungry, because I certainly am.
And especially for black trumpet mushrooms, like one of the last great things of the autumn.
Yeah.
One of my very favorite things to do is to get them really nice and crispy and have that as a garnish for that macaroni cooked risotto
style. And you just hit on something very important with black trumpets, is that they do need to be crispy.
So when we come back, we have a very interesting interview for you and a little more mushroom discussion on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine.